Hey, it's Curious City intern, Natalie Dahlia. Okay, so take a walk outside, or if you prefer, look outside your window and gaze away at the mountainous grandeur of the Chicago area foothills, the Everests of the Midwest. Just kidding, that's not what you see. Chicago is super flat. So why do so many places around Chicago have names that would make you think otherwise? This week, we revisit an episode where Curious City alum Logan Jaffe helped answer that question. Coming up, making a Mount Prospect out of a molehill.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Coming up, an evening of poetry and music celebrating the Raprary, Chicago's library, preserving rap and hip-hop as vital literary art forms. October 16th at the Poetry Foundation building in River North. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
America is changing, and so is the world.
But what's happening in America isn't just the cause of global upheaval. It's also a symptom of disruption that's happening everywhere.
I'm Asma Khalid in Washington, D.C.
I'm Tristan Redman in London, and this is The Global Story.
Every weekday, we'll bring you a story from this intersection, where the world and America meet.
Listen on BBC.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Logan Jaffe, and I'm just going to admit it. I grew up on a cul-de-sac in a Florida neighborhood named Oak Forest, which didn't have many oaks. Or, come to think of it, a forest. Questioner John Leahy noticed a similar discrepancy where he grew up in Chicago's northwest suburbs. It started years ago with a family joke.
My dad has a very dad-like sense of humor. And for years, when we were heading up north and coming back, we'd say, oh, yes, we just finished our trek up, you know, Mount Prospect and came down Arlington Heights and through Rolling Meadows. And it would be this joke of these town names that clearly do not line up with their actual geography.
The geography of the Chicago area being flat, flat, really flat.
Well, it just seems so odd. Why do so many suburbs' names imply elevation?
A curious observation, but John's right. The names are spread from the north suburbs to the south suburbs. And the west suburbs, yeah, there too.
Highland Park, Arlington Heights, Mount Prospect, Prospect Heights.
Right. Palos Heights.
Chicago Heights.
Barrington Hills.
Palos Hills.
And then there's
Rolling Meadows. Highland Park, we said that.
The irony is perfect.
Illinois is pretty flat.
The second flattest state in the country, according to Josh Campbell, a geographer and flatness expert. Campbell recently mapped the flatness of every state in the U.S. to set the record straight, in a way. He says there's a mismatch in how flat a place actually is and how flat a place feels.
I do think this flatness has a very negative connotation to it. I think people associate flat with expanse. Flat is empty space, and there's nothing going on. Somehow, relief in the terrain seems to be more exciting.
And this feeling of flatness is important, Campbell says, because it can have some real-world implications, like how places are named and marketed, especially in prairie states.
These Midwestern states in particular that need economic growth, they need people to feel excited about why they're going to go live there, why they would want to travel there. And prairie landscapes don't seem to hold the attention of people like white sand beaches and Rocky Mountains do.
When I tell him about John's question, about Arlington Heights and Chicago Heights and Mount Prospect in flat, flat Chicagoland, Campbell says, yeah, that's funny. But it also makes sense.
I think that's the best evidence I've seen that people correlate flat with boring, is that you would name these suburbs anything. I mean, you'll tell a lie. And call it a mount to make it differentiated.
Campbell's got his finger on the big picture theory, a sensibility of flatness. But is it really playing out here? I ask Anne Durkin Keating, a historian who's written about the early days of Chicago suburbs, for a more local perspective. What might people have against flatness in 19th century Chicago?
Yeah, I think there really is a movement towards a romanticism and the idea of natural features, and flat wasn't seen as scenic.
She says you can see it in paintings.
Particularly when we think about the American West, people's images are those dramatic views.
You know, settlers on horseback traversing mountain ranges, waterfalls at sunset, autumn on the bluffs of the Colorado River.
Chicago's not going to provide that kind of scenic landscape, except in a very, very tiny little way.
Literally tiny. I looked at elevation charts, and Northwest Cook County is slightly higher than the city of Chicago, just not by much. The high point is about 600 feet higher than downtown, but that rise happens over 30 miles. In other words, you don't really notice it. But, Keating says, small differences in elevation could be exploited and make a big difference when it came to marketing a place.
Being seen as being on a ridge or in heights will help potentially to bring new residents and new sales.
But at the time, even slight elevation could have practical advantages too.
The city center is definitely a place that is wrestling with cholera early on and typhoid. And those are diseases that are associated with water, with low land. So people are going to want to leave the city and they'll go along the railroad lines, but they're also going to look for a little bit of elevation.
One of those railroad towns was Dunton, Illinois, founded by, you know, William Dunton. It's about 20 miles northwest of Chicago. What? You haven't heard of it? That's because when William Dunton died in the 1870s, residents of Dunton saw it as an opportunity to rebrand.
The people who are living there are saying, hey, we don't want to be known as Dunton for the rest of time. We want to have a more progressive name. And that's why this Heights gets to be such an interesting thing, because they're looking out and saying, what will look good to encourage people to come and buy land here or settle here?
And after a bit of soul searching, the farmers and the landowners and the good people of Dunton came up with Arlington Heights. Seems like people liked it, because a couple decades later, it's clear that Dunton, aka Arlington Heights, started a name trend. For example, the town of Brickton renames as Park Ridge in 1873. Miller's Grove becomes Barrington Hills in the 1890s. And even into the 1930s, we get Prospect Heights, the mashup of Neighbor's Mount Prospect and Arlington Heights. And whether people sought elevation for the scenery or to escape disease, it's clear that height was a strong selling point. But does that appeal still hold true for people today? Our questioner John and I hike up Mount Prospect to find out.
Excuse me?
Say.
Hi. I'm just curious, have you ever thought about how the town is named Mount Prospect, but there's no mountain?
I've never considered that.
Really?
No.
Never. Not once.
I thought about it when I first started to work out here, but that was 27 years ago, and I haven't found the mountain yet, so.
Well, if Mount Prospecteers themselves don't consider the name much, I thought I'd run it by someone with a wider view, someone who might use the name for marketing.
My name is Julia Nickel, and I am a realtor here at Picket Fence Realty of Mount Prospect.
And she says...
Our mount? Yes, I've never had any buyer ask about the mount or refer to the mount or wonder, you know, can I buy a house at the highest elevation here? Nobody's ever asked that. The number one question or drive really for buyers is school.
And the other big question buyers ask themselves?
They just want to know, is this house going to flood?
And yeah, it probably will. Regardless of your town's name, there's no escaping it.
I don't think I ever said when our basement got water, but wait, we are on a mount.
Yeah, about the mount.
Mount Prospect. I mean, what's better than that, you know?
Edward Callery, who wrote a book on the history of place names in Illinois.
You know, here's somebody who came up with the name Mount Prospect to play on all of our good feelings. We all want to live in a high place, a rich place.
and one where we can bring our kids up with great prospects.
But it's not even high. Like, does it matter?
Oh, it's all in our minds. We buy places and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on the image that it presents. We don't care what it really is. It's the image of the thing.
And naming a place after what we want it to be, rather than what's actually there, can be kind of dangerous. Because it suggests that the specifics about the place itself, the flatness, the cornfields, the landscape, that they don't matter. And neither does any local history, like who founded the town. In other words, these names are practically rootless.
See, what happened with these developments, they are located everywhere and nowhere at the same time. We are essentially a placeless society in the sense that we used to be bound to a place, and now the place we live can be practically anywhere. Mount Prospect could just as well be in Colorado or Alaska or Texas as it is in Illinois.
Interesting. It reminds me of something realtor Julia Nickel says. The word mount and Mount Prospect may have served its purpose back in the day. What about now?
If we could rename it, what would you rename it?
I think maybe we could lose the mount, since we have not a mount, and just be Prospect, Illinois.
To you, what does Prospect evoke?
Solid, secure, desirable.
So how about it, Mount Prospect? Ready to ditch the mount? Your town would still have a nice ring to it, and you might end up with a more honest address.
One evening as the sun went down and the jungle fire was burning, down the track came a hobo hiking, and he said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away beside the crystal fountains. So come with me, we'll go and see the big rock candy mountains."
This story was reported by Logan Jaffe. City suburbs aren't the only source of controversial names in Chicago. For instance, how would you pronounce the hot pepper topping on an Italian beef? It starts with a G. You know it. After the break, a preview of something spicy for next week's Curious City.
On the birds and the bees and the cigarette trees, the lemonade springs where the bluebird sings in the bleak rock candy.
Curious City is supported by the Poetry Foundation, with a reminder that Chicago is the pulse of poetry. Visit the Poetry Foundation on the corner of Superior and Dearborn to explore their library of 40,000 books, attend public events, and view Frente a la Vida, Facing Life, a striking multidisciplinary art exhibition by Chicago artist Victoria Martinez. Learn more at poetryfoundation.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.
Next week on Curious City, we unearth the origins of a possibly Chicago condiment. And, oh yeah, try to settle that controversy over how it's pronounced.
That for sure is not jardiniere, but it's giardiniera.
Personally, I say giardiniera. And we've heard that some Chicagoans like to eat it on everything, not just sandwiches. Do you like it on your tuna fish salad, on your pizza? Have you got a special recipe that includes it? Let us know. Send us an email at curiouscity@wbez.org or message us on social media. Curious City is produced by Joe Dassault and edited by Alexandra Solomon. Monica Eng is our reporter and Maggie Civet is our digital and engagement producer. Curious City is supported by the Conant Family Foundation. I'm Natalie Dahlia. Thanks for listening.
What happens when you say yes for an entire year? Join WBEZ on October 26th for an evening with Titan of Television Shonda Rhimes as she recounts lessons from her best-selling memoir, Year of Yes. Tickets at WBEZ.org/events.